Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 267 all the stanzas. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. 1-4 of Psalter 267.
Thank you. congregation, the portion to be read this evening can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and they are from chapter 5, the first 26 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and long-suffering God, before whom that each one of us will also soon appear, thou dost privilege us to come closer and closer, even unto the last hours of this quickly bygone year. And thy sparing mercies over us, they are so very evident. And yet thou hast removed from our midst a little child, that thou may remember those that mourn, and that thou may look upon each and every one of us. For we read that there is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. And yet we call our lands after our own names, and we believe not that we shall die. We see not our sin, the greatness and the evil thereof. We see not thy grief, that it is unto thee. And we feel not the greatness of the transgression and the iniquity that lives within our hearts and what comes forth from day to day. Lord, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, for we cannot die as we have been born. And yet we read in thy word of one who had come even to the very brink of hell. And yet he did beseech thee in the last moments, in the acknowledgement of his sin and of his guilt, beseeching thee that thou wouldst remember him. And it was not yet for him too late. Or that thou may give to us to feel something in this evening of the seriousness of having a soul and traveling to a great and to a never-ending eternity. For we are upon a way which thou hast begun for us. And we come closer and closer unto its end, that we may receive a feeling realization thereof, that as our year comes to an end, so our life also does draw to its close. Wilt thou grant us something of that urgency that is necessary of concerning the need of our soul upon our journey. For we read of those who in whom thou hadst planted that true and saving faith, that for them it was a sojourning here upon this earth, and a declaration that they sought a country. And thou knowest the heart and the life of young and old in our midst. O Lord, that thou may give also, that we may seek that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. O that we may take heed to the warnings that are coming unto us each and every day, that our souls may live and receive profit out of thy holy word, that thou wouldst draw our hearts that are drawn after all this world, and that thou may give thy word a place in our hearts that it has no place in by nature. Could it be yet in this evening, in the last service that will be held in this year in our midst, all the opportunities, they are now past. Or that we may receive impressions, saving impressions of thy Holy Spirit, of the shortness of the time, of the uncertainty thereof, and of the seriousness of life, and that thou may grant us in this evening, if it has never been in our life, profit out of thy holy word, or that we may take heed, O Lord, that this is thy own work. It belongs not to us, for we are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature. O grant it then by thy Spirit, that thou who art almighty, thou who art holy, thou who art righteous, thou who art just, but thou who art also merciful, and thou who art gracious, or that we may be given a cry to thee in the depth of our heart, and while it is still called today, look upon our children and upon our youth, because they also do believe that there is a long life before them. Oh, then we are all the same. In our imaginations, then we lengthen the uncertain time, but we know it not. And the calling that has come also unto them in the year that is past, O Lord, that thou may sanctify and bless it, and grant that tender fear of thy most holy name in their young hearts, that they might learn to serve thee in the days of their youth, or that we may fear to stand before thy judgment seat, and that we may hasten for the sake of our life. Wilt thou care for all that are afflicted, all that are sick, all those also that mourn? And wilt thou look upon them in the time in which we are, and wherein the missing is often multiplied, that thou may give that comfort from above as thou alone art able? Do look upon the nations in which we do dwell. Oh, could it please thee to wash away all the iniquity and the sin? For it rises unto heaven, and it is a wonder that thou hast not yet spoken of us, as thou hadst spoken of that first sinful world, and as thou hast spoken of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the cry of the city has come up unto thee, and thou art come down to destroy it. O Lord, that thou thyself may remember us in thy mercy. O wash us and cleanse us, but do turn us also unto thy law and to thy testimonies, before that our utter destruction is come upon us, when the fear shall take hold of the hearts of men, and when we will cry to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills to cover us from the face of the Lamb that sitteth upon the throne. Do look upon us in this evening hour. Do help us to bring this little portion of thy word. Lord, we have no power to bring it in our own hearts, to affect our hearts, to give feeling and life, to give hunger and to give thirst and that tender fear of thy name. Oh, we have no power, but we do beseech of thee that we may feel thy power on every side, that the solemnity of the day and the truth of thy word and may be bound upon our hearts, for the conviction and the convincing of sin, and for the deliverance thereof. Help us in the bringing of thy word and in the hearing thereof, forgiving all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 139, stanzas 1 through 6. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all, from rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call. 1 through 6 of Psalter 139.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we read in God's Word of those who will say in the end of this world, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And so man, under the administration of the Word of God, he falls asleep, slumbering under the prophecies of the Word of God concerning that which shall surely be fulfilled in its time. How was that for Lot? And when the Lord did send His angels into the city, and he was warned, and he has gone to his sons-in-law, up, he says, get you out of this city, for the Lord will destroy this place. But we read that he was as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Then we cannot imagine at that time a coming also in our days. When the Lord, He will come as He has promised. When the heavens shall be rolled away, we read, as a scroll. And when everything in this world that shall be burned up, so that there will be a purifying, that there may be a new heaven and a new earth. But despite the unbelief of man, these things shall surely come to pass in their time. Even as the rest of God's Word that has and is being fulfilled. And therefore we wish, with the Lord's help, to speak in this evening a few words out of Matthew 5, verses 25 and 26. Matthew 5, verses 25 and 26. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So far the words of our text. A timely admonition, first to whom this admonition is given. Second, by whom this admonition is given. Third, when this admonition is given. And fourth, why this admonition is given. A timely admonition. First, to whom. Second, by whom. Third, when. Fourth, why this admonition is given. Agree with thine adversary to whom this admonition is given. To whom is it given? It is given to those who have an adversary. What is that? An adversary. That is an opponent. You have sometimes an opponent, young people, children. And you will play with one another. You will play a little game. And then you can have an opponent, one whom you play against. But when we read this in the Word of God, then we are not speaking about playing. No, then we are speaking about something that is very serious. Then actually we are speaking about coming into a court of law. And there in that court of law to have an opponent. Thus there is a disagreement. There are many disagreements in the world. Why? They were not before sin has come into the world. But they have come into the world as a consequence of sin. Thus that is the cause of all of the contentions and of all of the strife that is in this world. The persons in disagreement are here called adversaries. Then they are persons that are in disagreement are not always adversaries, because there are many disagreements that do not rise to the level, an adversarial level. You can maybe, young people, sometimes have a disagreement with each other. But you are not adversaries, are you? With your brothers and your sisters, you still love one another, I think. And I hope that that also shows, and that you still love one another. And we have a duty also as members of the same household, members of the same church, that we do not permit our disagreements to arise to that adversarial level. Solomon, he says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. That is not the sins of myself. That is what I like to cover. But Solomon also says, he that covereth his sins, that he shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them, he shall have mercy. But now love that covereth all sins, that covereth all the sins of, well, that covers the sins of my neighbor. You say the Bible says, Matthew 18, and that we are not supposed to cover them, but we are supposed to go to someone and we are supposed to say to him, you have offended me. That is right. It does not say that we should cover them from him, but it says that we should cover those sins from other persons, and that we are not repeating these matters where it is not necessary. Solomon, he also says, take no heed to all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For thou knowest that thou thyself likewise oftentimes have also cursed others. Thus he says, the knowledge that lives in your heart, that self-knowledge, do we have a little self-knowledge? That self-knowledge is humbling. And that is causing a man also to cover the sins of his neighbor. Thus, the Pharisees, they were very harshly insisting that it must be always an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth according to the law. And yet the Lord Jesus, he says there are many sins that may be looked over. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn, he says to him, the other cheek also. And whosoever shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have also thy cloak. And yet, that does not take away the office that the Lord has given in this world of a judge. Because the Lord, he has given the law of self-preservation in the heart of every man for the sake of the continuing existence of the entire world. And he has given the judges in the land when it is necessary that they may judge between man and man as the mouthpiece, we read of God. The Bible says that they are the ministers of God. The ministers of God unto thee for good. And may we ask that the Lord may give to them to serve a righteous judgment in those times when it is sometimes even obligatory for man to bring his case into that court for the public good and even for the good of our adversary. But you say our text that says, agree with thine adversary. So that is not now to take that adversary, is it, unto the law? No. But here that is not speaking about this. The assumption here that is something different. There is an assumption in this text that it is not you, but it is your adversary that has you by the hand and that he is dragging you into that court. Agree, it says, with thine adversary. You say, but how can I agree with mine adversary? Because in my conscience, I know that my adversary, he accuses me of things that I have never done. Must I then agree with mine adversary? Must I then say to him, yes, you are right, then I am guilty? Indeed, there are persons who do that, and sometimes we can even understand it when we see in this world how that the Lord permits the persecutions to take place and how that persons are tortured and they are put, as it were, upon the rack. And then finally, they are squeezing out of such persons a confession of things that they have never done. Or we understand it. And yet the Lord Jesus, he would not do such a thing. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees, they said, God is our Father. And the Lord Jesus, he said that they did not know God. They did not even know who he was. But he says, I know him. And ye say, I do not know him. And you say that he is not my Father. But he says, I know him. And if I should say that I know him not, then I shall be a liar like unto you. Thus he says, to say that we are guilty, when our conscience that testifies that we are innocent, that is as much to lie as to say we are innocent. When our conscience that testifies that we are guilty, nor does such a confession help to bring our adversary into that way of repentance. Thus, agree with thine adversary. Then the Lord does not say we must agree with our adversary when we are innocent and say that we are guilty. There are assumptions here. They are not written in that word. Agree with thine adversary. There is an assumption that it is our adversary. He is dragging us onto that court. And there is also an assumption that that guilt that is lying upon our own head. And thus the Lord Jesus, he says, agree then with thine adversary. He says, confess that guilt. Confess what you know in your conscience to be true. Then no longer maintain yourself, no longer maintain your innocence, even when you have maintained it for a long time already, to your shame. He says, then you must turn from that way and you must agree with thine adversary. Agree with thine adversary. Who says this? That is our second thought. By whom this admonition is given? Who says it? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is part of that Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus has delivered when he has gone up into that mountain and he has set himself and his disciples and those that followed him, they have come all about him to hear him. And then there were many practical things that the Lord Jesus has spoken about to those that followed him. Oh, then he has shown something of how that he cared for the people. That was not only for the spiritual things they were in the first place, but he has cared also for all the natural things. Do we feel something of that also in the end of this year? When we may come up to the house of the Lord, how that the Lord, he has cared, he has labored concerning our soul, but that the Lord, he has also taken care of all the natural necessities of our life. And yet, the application of his words, they often extended to things that were far beyond the needs of this life, then they have extended to the things that had to do with the soul of his hearers. And then they have extended to things that were not only temporal, but they have extended to things which were eternal. And what does he say? He says, agree with thine adversary. The very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world that was caused by adversaries. The need for his coming that was caused by sin. And who has known it better than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that mankind has an adversary who has felt it more as one of the very persons of the triune God itself than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that there has come a great disagreement between God and man. And that disagreement that has risen to a level wherein God, he has become the very adversary of mankind. That it is rising to a level where there is a drawing of that people even unto the court of the law. Thus our sin, that is not just a minor infraction. It is not something that can be looked through the fingers at. But our sin that is a sin against the holy and the righteous God. And it is the very character of God that is magnifying the evil of the sin that is committed against Him. And therefore that sin that is going to be dealt with by the Lord as the adversary of mankind at the very law itself. As our adversary. It is God Himself that will draw us unto the judgment seat. And then He will state what He has against us. And what will He there say? And when we are standing in that court with God Himself to give accusation against us, what will then be stated before the judge? Oh, then the Lord will say in the first place, I have created them. I have created them so high. I have made them in my image. I made that people like unto myself, so that you could see, as it were, the reflection of myself within them. Then it was a people that were created in the knowledge of God, in the righteousness of God, and in the holiness of God. And it is now that people who have completely forsaken that way in which I have created them. There we will stand. What will we say when this accusation is coming to our ears before our judge? What man will be able to say, it is not true. I'm a seeker of the Lord. I love the Lord above all the world. Oh, the Lord, He will say, I have made them for my honor. I've created them for my glory. I have given them hands and I have given them feet. I have given them eyes. I gave them a body. I gave them life. I gave them breath. I gave them a mind. I gave them rationality. And they have, as a traitor, they have left me and they have gone with all those gifts over to my enemy. To go off into His service with joy and delight. They have turned their back upon me. I actually have no profit from that people anymore. What will we say? He will say, I have given them my law. It was not a hard law. I made them all able to fulfill it, with a desire in their heart to fulfill it. It was an easy yoke. It was a light burden. And they have transgressed it. They have set themselves up a golden calf. They have served the idols of their heart and of this world. Or He will say, I continued to give them food and drink. Not only to create them, but I have provided for them. As I have called them once and again unto myself, They have continued to go their own way. They have, in all their ingratitude, robbed me of all the gifts that I have given unto them. And they have taken them to use them for their own glory, for their own pleasure, and in the ways of sin. They have not turned once to look back upon that hand that upheld them. They have not once looked back upon that hand that did feed them. I called to them, but they did not answer. I spoke unto them, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, even to, as it were, thrust it in my face, and to choose the thing that I delighted not. Agree with thine adversary. That is now the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not by nature agree with our adversary. Or are there those who can agree? Do you know what we say? We say, wherein have I sinned? Is it really so bad? What I do? Look at the world. I am not like them. Oh, then it is not that holy and righteous God and His holy and righteous word and law that we place ourselves next to, but we compare ourselves to this evil world that we may try to lift ourselves up even in our sin. We do not see it. Or we wipe our mouth and we say, wherein have I sinned? We go to church, pray, I read the Bible, I read also many other good works, or what is now the first work of the Spirit of the Lord. In the way of the application, that is to make a man to agree with his adversary, not just with our mouth, no, but to agree with our adversary in our heart. If we are not convicted, if we are not convinced of our sin, then we believe we are innocent. But now when the Spirit of the Lord comes, then that whole view that a man has of himself, that changes. If the Spirit convinces us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, oh, then we begin to see slowly more and more what our guilt, what our corruption is. Then we begin to say, woe is me. Then we begin to stand further and further off with that publican, and we begin to smite upon our breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, then we begin to agree with our adversary that we are deserving of that punishment. Agree with thine adversary. That speaks about those who have long maintained their innocence and they have sworn that they are guiltless to the provoking of their adversary. And now what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, agree with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way with him. Thus he admonishes concerning the time wherein we must come to agree. That is our third thought. He says, whilst you are in the way. What do you say? He says that time is a very special time. The time that you are in the way with your adversary. In the way, what is the way, boys and girls? The way, that is a word in the Bible that means the road. So we have a picture of a man, two men together. You see the one, he is drawing the other. They are together on that road. And that one, he has him by the arm. He will not let him go. And he is dragging him along. And he is bringing him, dragging him closer and closer. He wants to bring him to the court because he has so many things that he desires to say unto that judge against this man. But they are not there yet. Thus that judge, he has not yet heard this case. That judge, he has not yet made his judgment. That sentence that has not yet been pronounced. And now the Lord Jesus, he speaks and he says, this time that is fast hastening away, this time that is a very special time, that is before that you have come to the judgment seat with your adversary. Why? Because he says that is a time that you still may come to agreement with that adversary. You may still speak to him. You may still say to him, I am sorry. You may still say, I am guilty. You may still work it out between you and your adversary before that you are condemned by that judge. Oh, a special time. And that he declares that to be. But he says that time that is fast hastening away. The longer you are going together in that way, in that road, the nearer that you are approaching unto that court. And therefore he says, agree with thine adversary quickly. Thus, he expresses a great urgency in this matter. Because that time that is fast hastening away, wherein that the opportunity to make it well with your adversary still exists. But you are coming closer and closer to that court, and that court that is not far away. Thus he says, soon, very soon, that opportunity that is going to be all gone. Very soon you are come to the end of that road. You are going to come to that end of that way. And you are going to be standing there with your adversary in all his accusations, which are true. And you are going to be standing before the judge. Oh, how will it be then in that day? Let us sing 255, 2 and 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah, whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is he, our God and King. 2 and 4 of Psalter 255. a timely admonition. Our last thought, why it is given. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time an adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Why does Christ make this timely admonition, an admonition of the time, an admonition that belongs to the time, because of the approaching judgment, because of the approaching condemnation of all wickedness? He says, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. Who is the judge? The judge that is his own son. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, the Father judgeth no man, but he has committed all judgment unto the Son. Thus the Son is he who will judge on the behalf of his Father. That was not when he came the first time. When he came into this world, which we have just commemorated in his blessed incarnation, that was not to judge. Then he says, I am not come to judge the world, but I am come to save the world. That is what now belonged to the time. That is what belonged to that time. That is now what belongs to this time. But he says, I will come again. And then how different is that second coming of Christ going to be from that first coming of Christ? What does John say? He says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude that was without number, that stood before the throne and the Lamb. They were of all nations and of all peoples and of all kindreds and of all tongues. What a day that shall be, when we also will be gathered with the entire human race before the throne of God and of the Lamb. Oh, that great judgment day, when all the inhabitants of the world, they will be summoned, both living and dead, before the judgment seat of God. And then he speaks about the condemnation. He speaks about the punishment of all who are guilty and are hailed then before their judge. And he says, deliver them to the judge, to the officer. Who are the officers? We can read in God's word, they are the holy angels. So Christ says, it shall be in the end of this world that the angels, they shall come forth, and they shall sever the wicked from among the just, and they shall cast them into that everlasting fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verily, he says, truly, he says, form of the oath, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We would say, boys and girls, until thou hast paid the very last penny. When will that be paid? Of that great debt. that we owe unto our Maker, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, that great debt, when will that be paid? When will the last penny be paid? Oh, that is not possible. That will never be paid. Because that debt that is so high that it cannot be paid by a mortal being. And therefore, he says, in essence, thou shalt never come out. And thus we say the place where hope shall never come. Can we fathom that, O congregation? It is so very late. Newton, he says, see, another year is gone. Quickly, he says, have the seasons passed. This we enter now upon will to many prove their last. Mercy hitherto has spared, but have mercies been improved? Let us ask, am I prepared? Should I be this year removed? And now the Lord Jesus, he gives an admonishment. And he gives an admonishment with a great urgency. He says, in that time that is fast hastening to its end, he says, you must quickly do something. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way. What does he say? Oh, he says, it is necessary to become a sinner before God. It is necessary to become the guilty one. Have we ever become a sinner before God? That is now the only way that we can come into agreement with our adversary, because our adversary, he has accusations against us. Do we agree with them? This is now the admonition, the timely admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus he says, it is necessary to come to see ourselves even as God sees us. It is necessary to see ourselves in the light of the attributes of God, in the light of the holiness of God, in the light of the justice of God. It is necessary to come to a true repentance. It is necessary to receive a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow that will not be, we read in God's word, repented of. Oh, it is necessary to come, even as the prodigal, who may confess, who may agree, that he has wasted all his substance with riotous living. Oh, that he may also have a cry to say, oh, I will arise and I will go to my Father and I will say to him, oh, I will agree with him. I will confess to him. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Agree with thine adversary. That is what we must labor for. Why? That we may enter into that rest. That is what must be labored for quickly. You say, how can I do it? I do not have that feeling in me. I do not see it. I do not feel it. As I know that I must feel it. Is that your burden? Does that grieve you? That you feel your death? that you live without sorrow, that you live without remorse, that you live without that tender fear of the Lord in your heart. What must we consider? What will we be judged by when we had to stand tonight at that judgment seat? Then the Lord, He is going to take His holy law. We hear it Sabbath after Sabbath day. We hear the explanation thereof. Can we place our life next to it? Did the Lord ever make us the guilty one in it? That is now what we have broken. Did we ever become a son of Adam? Did He ever become for us our covenant head? Oh, if only we had eyes to see it. Then we would sigh. And then our cry that would go up unto heaven as the children of Israel, when we may feel something of the bondage of sin, of the evil of sin, and that sin that is destroying us, or that it will bring us into a great condemnation, that we may feel the sinfulness of sin against a good doing, a holy, a righteous God, or then our cry that will come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And what do we read? When that cry came up to God, then we read that God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant. His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered His covenant. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. Is that now not a wonder? He had respect unto them. What does Christ say here? He says, if man can now only come there to such a point and to agree with God, oh, then there is hope. Then there is hope. Then there is a way to be delivered from our judge. Then there is a way to be delivered from that sentence. Then there is a way to be delivered from that eternal condemnation. Oh, He is so ready to forgive. He is so ready to forgive, but not outside of that way of true repentance. What does He say? He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against me, only acknowledge it. What does Peter say? Him hath God exalted at the right hand of God to be the Prince and Savior, that He may give repentance and forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins. Oh, those two go together. That is the reason that the Lord, He is speaking in such a way, and that He is urging that a man may agree with his adversary. That first step. Agree with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way with him. Oh, there is so little time left for it. How long will we uphold ourselves? Will we uphold ourselves until it is too late? If we have to prepare for a journey in this world, when do we begin? When we begin at the last moment, then there is much fear. Then there is much rushing. Because you say, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be too late. We know what it is. Congregation, it is late. Maybe we have left this. Maybe we have left this until our old age. Until it is very, very late. But now the Lord Jesus in his admonition, or he speaks about that hope when he says, whilst thou art in the way with him. When he speaks about that hope, and then he gives an expectation to those who fear that it is indeed too late. Or that is now an urgency that is laid upon that true church. Think of Bunyan's Pilgrim. Or he says this city is going to be destroyed. That is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord. In the heart of a man, not because he has cancer, not because he has to die, but because the Spirit of the Lord shows him that he has to die. Or then he says, this city that is going to be destroyed, then he cannot sleep in the night. Or then everybody says he is out of his mind. Every day, put him to bed. That he may get a little bit of sleep. That is what the natural man thinks. It is not going to happen. And he was as one that mocked unto him. But that man, he has delivered his soul in that day. Congregation, the Lord bind the admonition of him who will appear soon as our judge. The Lord bind his admonition unto the heart of each and every one, that we may be delivered in the day of judgment. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do instruct and teach us. Thou dost admonish us in thy holy word. But we are not admonished unless thou dost bring it in our hearts. O come thou and work it truly. Work it in a personal way. And give us that cry of that children of Israel in that land of bondage. For they receive deliverance. Wilt thou be with us in this night. Bring us safely into the new year. And with desire and ability in thy house in the morning hour. To forgive all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 432, all the stanzas. God, Jehovah, reigns. His are all domains. Tremble at his word. Peoples who have heard of the power of him who mid cherubim his great throne has taken, let the earth be shaken. 1 through 4 of Psalter 432. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.